Okay, well, obviously it's 25 past 12, so I'm just trying to work out what exactly to do in the time that we have left. Before I do, I just want us to pray for Holly. Because even though she happens to be standing next to me, but I just felt like it would be good anyway. And, I just really feel like, Holly's a really precious part of our church community, isn't she? And I just feel that, for you, Karen, bringing her here, that God has just got great things planned for Holly, and she's gonna grow up knowing the love of God, which is gonna change stuff for her. Yay! So I just want to pray for her. So if people just want to pray with me for her, that'd be really great. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you so much for Holly, and I just pray that she would just really know your love and really know you personally, that she would have her own friendship with you, and she'd just grow up safe and secure in your love and knowing that you're good God. So we just pray your blessing over her. Amen. Great. Okay. So for those of you who, is the projector still not working? Okay, great. So I did actually have a nice little, have a little try, yeah. I've got a nice little PowerPoint to help you concentrate. But for those of you who've been here or haven't been, just to recap. So this series that I've been doing is called 21st Century Disciples. And I've been looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, looking at the early church there and the kind of way that they were living life. And one of the things that I've just been bringing at the beginning of every talk, just to remind us, is that in every generation needs to work out what it means in that generation and in the culture that we find ourselves in, what it means to follow Jesus. And so the three points that I keep on reminding us of, because I think they're important for us to remember, is that we need to grapple with scripture. We need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we need to experiment about what does it mean to follow Jesus in the places where we find ourselves. So Acts 15 is a really good thing, if you've not heard me say that before, to read, to look at that chapter of when the early church were doing that, with how were they going to deal with their Jewish community, people who weren't Jews were becoming Christians. Did it mean that they were required to have to be circumcised? And, it's the whole thing of looking at that and follow various other rules that the Jews had. So that gives an example of doing that whole thing of grappling with scripture, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and experimenting. So those are some kind of things that we need to consider. And, at the moment, in a way, we're always doing that. But, we really feel that for us as a church at this point in time, there's a real opportunity for us all to join in the conversation, to talk together about what does it mean for us in this season, looking to follow Jesus here in Englefield Green as a group of people. We're all part of that. We're all the body of Christ. We all have different things to bring into that. So I encourage you to be part of that. And one of the ways that we're going to be doing that is on the 29th of June. Instead of meeting here, we're going to be meeting at the hub at the earlier time of 10 o'clock. We're going to have a bring and share breakfast, and then we're going to have lots of ways for us to begin talking together about, we've been going for nearly 10 years, where we're at, and what's going to happen in the future. And you're all a really important part of that. So I encourage you to be there if you're able to and be part of the conversation. Who's going to be there? Great. And so, in my first talk, we were looking at the things that the early church devoted themselves to. So the apostles' teaching, breaking of bread, prayer, fellowship, all those things, core parts. And we were thinking, well, how can we as individuals and a community can devote ourselves to those things? Last week, we were looking at the sense of awe that they had because of the miracles and the signs that were happening. We, consider the importance of seeing the supernatural power of God break in. We looked at Peter and the miraculous fish, catch of fish, and how that changes our perception of who God is. And, helps us to see him in the day to day of life. So today, I want us to look at verses 44 and 45. And I'm just going to read these out to you. So if you want to get your Bibles, Acts 2, so verse 44 and 45, let's just look at these. So, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. So I just read that again. And all of those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with all as anyone might have need. And the question that I want all of us to consider today is, how can we live life together and share what we have? So how can we live life together and share what we have? And that might sound really basic. It is basic, but to actually live that out is very profound, and it's not always that straightforward. And, you know, when we're looking at what were the early church giving themselves to, how are they living? The early church that had been with Jesus and seen the way that he'd modeled life, so it's a good indicator to look to what we're supposed to be doing. What does that mean for us in the here and now? I'm just going to share with you a few little stories and thoughts from my own life, as we haven't got very much time, to kind of try and convey to you what I'm trying to get across about this. You know, before we started the journey, you know, I would read passages like Acts 2 and read the way that Jesus, like, went about doing his ministry. And it was, like, really attractive. You know, I loved the fact that Jesus hung out with people. He did life with them. And in that, he was just bringing all this, like, amazing stuff. You know, miracles were happening. He was bringing words of life that were changing people's perceptions about how they lived. And, you know, it wasn't happening in a nice programmed event with nice meetings and programs and all that kind of thing. It was happening just in life, in the day to day. And we see that in this passage in Acts of how they were doing that. And, you know, when I was at university, because university is like any other culture, you know, you're living really closely together, you're in halls, you see each other all the time, you have loads of free time that you don't have in the rest of life. Sorry, that's true. you know, it was just such a great time to be around people all that time, to get excited about God, encourage each other in that way, having friends who don't know Jesus, getting to know Jesus, people becoming Christians, seeing healings happen. You know, to me, it was like, in a very little way, it kind of showed me what I was reading about in Acts, and it was attractive. And then you kind of leave university and you get a job, and life is a bit different because suddenly you live kind of further away from each other. So you have to now, to see each other, you have to put something in the diary. You can't just turn up at each other's houses because it doesn't work. And you've got less time. And I remember for the first few years after I left university, it was slightly depressing. Not completely, but, you know, just having had that great kind of a life to then, oh, this is what life is like now. You know, I miss just being able to hang out with people and stuff like that. And so then a few years after leaving university, we started the journey. And when myself and Tom and Phil and Tracy started it, we all had this core value of wanting to build community and do life together. And, you know, when we're thinking about what do we want church to be, that was a key part of it. So, you know, the obvious thing to us was to all move into a house together, which we did on Harvest Road, and to let whatever emerged to emerge out of that. And those of you who ran in those days will know that it was the place to hang out, which was great. And, you know, we saw God doing a lot of stuff together as we did life together. And I think, you know, that's one of the things I want to get across this morning is that the way that our culture is and the kind of values that there are in our culture, it seeks to separate us from each other. Because we all need to get stuff. We all need to have our own houses. I'm not saying it's wrong to have your own house. Hear me in the right way. But if we all need to get our own houses, we all need to have our own of everything. So therefore, you know, we need more and more money to do these things. And we end up living lives, if you just think through all of it, that actually separate us from each other and stop us from sharing life together And, you know, like some of the things that are talked about in this passage about sharing possessions and all of that kind of thing, that can't really happen if we're not actually doing life together. Does that make sense? And so I'm cutting to the chase because I haven't got very much time. I was going to build up to all of this and explain it all. But, you know, I just really believe that there is something about a group of people who choosing against the odds of our culture to intentionally do life together, not just for the sake of doing life together, that is a great thing, but it's centered around Jesus. So, you know, he's what is holding us all together, and our purpose is about seeing more of his kingdom come in our community. But I think it can only really happen well when you've got a group of people who are doing life together, who are going through the ups and downs and the pains and the disappointments and all the rubbish that we all have, and are still loving each other and doing life in that way. So, again, there's a lot more to say on that, but I haven't really got time. And, you know, like recently, as all of you, probably most of you know this, I really felt like God was challenging me to sell my car, because these days, because I spend most of my time in Enfield Green, I thought I hardly ever use my car, and it's really expensive to run it, and maybe I should get rid of it. And so I felt like I should do this, and I was talking about this, and Emma said to me, oh, you can go on my insurance, you know, because there was a couple of times when I would need a car to get to certain places. And Emma works at Royal Holloway, so she doesn't use it in the day, and there were certain times when I needed it during the day. So that was all very happy. And I was thinking, wow, that's amazing. I'm going to sell my car. I'm sharing a car with Emma. We're sharing costs, and it's all good. Now, most of you know this, that then about a month later, so also Emma had been given the car by the Emmets, so it was all part of a flow. And a month later, I was driving in slow-moving, stop-starting traffic and drove into the back of somebody in Emma's car and wrote her car off. So this happened about 2 weeks ago. And honestly, it was like the worst feeling ever, because it's like one thing. I mean, everything was fine. It wasn't that much bad of a crash. It wasn't like I was hurt. No one was hurt, just the cars. And but it was just the most horrible feeling to think, not only have I like driven into someone's car, if it was in my own car, I'd feel bad about it, but it feels so much worse because it wasn't my car. I'm like, I've never driven in the back of anyone. Why did I have to do it in someone else's car? And I was thinking, oh, this is like really a bad message for this whole thing of like, let's all share our stuff. But as we all know, Emma is so gracious, and she has not been angry with me about it. And when I told her, her first reaction was, "Why are you okay?" which was wonderful. But, you know, I felt incredibly guilty. And I think the reason why I'm telling this story is because it illustrates the point that actually, if we're going to do life together, which, you know, and share our stuff. So like me and Emma sharing this car, even though it's her car, but me using her car kind of causes us to do life together more, because we have to interact, we have to organize around the car, and that causes our relationship to grow. Now, the next challenge for the relationship is when I like write her car off, it's like, then it's the opportunity to grow in grace and forgiveness. You know, for Emma, it's like offering that to me, but also for me, it's like receiving it, because in some ways, my reaction afterwards was like, actually, I think I should just get my own car. I don't know if I want to go on Emma's insurance again with the new car, because I feel really bad. And so then it's like that response to that is for me to isolate myself from other people, because I now feel guilty and I just need to make it through by myself. And I'm just using this story to illustrate what happens all the time in community when we're not doing it, embracing it. But actually, it's like Emma graciously is still going to let me go on the insurance of her new car. And so it's like, that's the opportunity for me to be like, okay, well, I will just receive her forgiveness and grace in this and carry on choosing to do this. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And so there is something for us as a community to explore more in what does it mean to do life together. I'm not saying that everybody needs to share cars, but it can look in all different kinds of ways. But there is something about us as a community prophetically being a community who are together, who are not separating ourselves from each other and are doing life together and rubbing up against each other with the good stuff and the not so good stuff, challenging each other in it, receiving grace and forgiveness within it. And something greater emerges that is more authentic to who God is and how he wants to his people to kind of demonstrate who he is on the earth. Does that make sense? Great. So it's 2:15, so I'm going to come to an end. But I want us to just, think about, I'm just trusting that the Holy Spirit will speak to us despite the fact I haven't had time to properly explain it all. Just want us to think, how can we live life together and share what we have? And if I'd had the PowerPoint, there would be some questions that I want us to think of. So if you have a chance to write them into your phone or write them down, could you just do that if you want to? Because I want us to like really think about this, not just to be like, oh yeah, that's nice, we need to share our stuff. But what does this actually mean for us as individuals and as a community? And let's start to talk about it. You know, if we'd have had more time, it would have been good to talk about it today. But first of all, do I want to live this way? Ask yourself that question and just be honest. What are the barriers to me living this way? What are the barriers to the community as a whole living this way? So our whole church community. What can we do about them? And what changes can I make this week? So I'll just repeat them. Do I want to live this way? What are the barriers to me living this way? What are the barriers to the community as a whole living this way? What can we do about them? And what changes can I make this week? And, you know, I think because we live in such a consumerist society that's very materialistic, I think that's a big thing for us to really hit head on. You know, for me, since about 2008, I've been on a journey of changing my relationship to stuff. So I went to Mozambique for 3 months. And at the beginning of when I went, I had like a massive suitcase full of all this stuff. And Dave Jones took me to the airport. And when I got there, it was like way over the limit. And so I was like trying to see what could I possibly take out and put it in bags for him to take. And I still paid loads of extra money to take all the stuff. And I remember sitting in the airport, like feeling really like so sad that certain things that I couldn't take. And when I came back from Mozambique, I'd like given away loads of my stuff and my whole relationship to stuff had begun to change. And I just laughed at myself when I saw the stuff that I was almost grieving for. I just laughed because I thought, I can't believe I was so ridiculous. And it kind of started a journey for me in thinking about stuff. I got rid of, I was living with Gemma at the time. She knew I was constantly having clear outs, giving away stuff, getting rid of it, thinking, why do I think I need this thing? And I'll talk about it more some other time. But it's a journey that I've been on, and it's really freeing to not constantly be defined by the need to have and want more and more stuff, which I think ultimately separates us from other people. And I just want to encourage us to really think about that, and maybe I'll talk about it more in the future. But, yeah. So maybe let's just spend a few minutes just reflecting on some of those questions that I've said. And then maybe we'll just, actually, if people have got things that they immediately are feeling challenged that they feel would be good to share, it'd be good just to hear that just for a few minutes before we go. Is that all right? So let's just maybe take a few minutes and write some stuff down. Just think about it.